I have a baby dedication this evening, and I was going to do some speaking first. I don't know if that'd be best or not. Go ahead and do that. She's a little fussy here, I guess. Must be terrible being a child, all the pressures of life. Yeah. It's rough. Some of us wish we could go back and be a child again, huh? Some of us never left off being a child. Is every heart clear this evening? I usually take the opportunity of a baby dedication to talk a little bit more. Go right ahead, sister. Take the opportunity to reiterate some things to us as parents and church family, and so that's what I will do again this evening. The Sunday school lesson started off this morning with the portion of Scripture that talks about how important a child is to the Lord. It's a wonderful few verses there. It's found in Matthew. It's found in Mark's gospel. Mark has a little bit different of a wording than what Matthew does. But in Mark's gospel, chapter 10, beginning with verse 13, it says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then verse 16, And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them." That parallel passage in Matthew 19 that was in the Sunday school lesson this morning is verse number 13. Then there were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And disciples rebuked them. But then we see the final verse of that section. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. So it's a picture that Jesus wants us to have of the importance of these little children. And it's a wonderful thing for us as parents to be able to dedicate our children, as what the Old Testament story of Hannah and Samuel portrays to us, dedicating our children to the Lord. Of course, Hannah's dedication was more acutely felt in the home, in that she had so many years she felt to train him before she literally gave him. But we have a tremendous responsibility with our children. And at my age, some of you can say yay and amen to this, and some of you may not necessarily feel it yet, but at my age we're beginning to realize that this one chance that we have quickly disappears. It comes and it goes so very swiftly. The younger we are, the slower time goes. We don't understand. We don't see how fast it's going until we get somewhere along in our journey and we realize that, yes, time is, sure enough, going by faster than what we ever thought even possible. But this one chance that we have to do our best. We have to take the opportunities that are presented to us. And if you're anything like me, you realize sometimes after the opportunity passes to teach, that you try to bring it back up to teach. A lot of times, once the opportunity passes, the opportunity is passed. We have to be ready. We have to be on our toes, as it were, to teach what God wants us to teach. Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's a very familiar passage, one that is commonly used in reference to child dedication. But Deuteronomy chapter number 6, begin with verse number 4. Simple beginning out, or the beginning part here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. But verse number 7, 8, and 9 pretty much indicate something to us that we need to be aware of. And probably the best way for us to be aware of it is to repeat what the writer is saying, the overtone of what he's saying, in the same form as what we would this evening. And if I lost you there, just look at what those verses are saying. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine heart, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You say, well, what is that saying? There's one word that jumps out of that that's not written there in letters, but there's one word that comes out of those three verses, and that is repetition. So I think that's why it's important for us to be repetitive, even in this instance and in this position, to keep reminding us of the importance of training and teaching our children. Some people rely on Sunday school to teach their children about God's Word. And without stepping on anybody's toes or killing anybody's sacred cow, Sunday school only goes so far. Matter of fact, Sunday school isn't even, well, nothing in Scripture tells us about Sunday school. Sunday school came about much later than the Bible being written. Now, it is definitely a good thing. It has benefited many, many lives. But we cannot rely solely on Sunday school. That doesn't take away the responsibility of Sunday school teachers. Doesn't take away from that at all. But what Sunday school should do, or how Sunday school should act and play a part in our lives or our children's lives, is the part of repetition. Repeating what moms and dads have taught at home, repeating what the preacher has preached in the pulpit, repeating what they've heard and learned of God's Word, and that repetition then begins to stick in their minds. I think it's important. And though Sunday school for some people have gone in different directions and it's no longer the training session, I believe that we need to continue. If we continue Sunday school, if that's going to be a part of our world, our church world, then we need to continue it with the emphasis that it's teaching God's Word, even in the youngest class. That's got to be the toughest class to teach. I know some of you would disagree. You would think that the adults, the ones that are up here, the ones that have sat through Sunday school for 50 years, they would be the hardest. I think the youngest ones are the hardest ones to teach. Because what are you going to do? Part of it is simply the repetition of teaching them God's Word. Some of it is just simply the repetition of teaching them the choruses or the stories, the things that we think everybody knows. But children don't always catch them the first time they hear them. Repetition is important. Repetition is important for children in learning, memorizing. Repetition is also important for all of us. Amen. Constantly being reminded. I know that I've got a long ways to go to be a perfect parent. So it's hard to stand up here and say certain ways of doing things, but we've got to teach our children. We have to provide for our children, not only in the home, but as the body of Christ that we looked at this morning very briefly. As a body of Christ, we have to provide spiritual nourishment. Spiritual nourishment. We have to provide for them spiritual guidance. It's important for us as a body of Christ, as a church family, to take the responsibility collectively to provide that which is needed. Spiritual nourishment, spiritual guidance. We have to provide for children. We have to provide for people a place where they can come and feel God. I know that a lot of times we want to write off the feeling and say, well, it's not all in feeling. And it's not all in feeling. But aren't you glad that there's times that you can feel? Aren't you glad that there's times that the ceiling isn't brass? Aren't you glad that you can actually sense something real in the presence of God? We need to provide, we have to provide a place where they can feel God. We have to provide a place where they can hear God. We have to provide a place where they can realize God. I'm a third generation. How many of you are third generation Christians? There's quite a few here. Third generation, you know, not just you, but your parents and your grandparents, Christians. Third generation. There's a problem with third generation Christians in that it's hard for us to feel the same passion that our grandparents felt because they came out of sometimes complete darkness. My dad's mom and dad come out of nothing, spiritually, come out of nothing. They didn't understand one thing about God or about church. And so as they were growing in grace, they took on things. They took on changes in their life, and they took them on with feeling and with passion. And I can look at those some of those very same things, and I wonder, why? What's the point? And it's easy then for third generation and beyond to begin to deviate and to change and to lose the passion and just do it out of habit. That's probably the hardest thing that we have is to teach our younger generation the where's and the why for's as to the passion. It's easy to teach them this is something that we do or that we don't do, and this is a general idea of why, but the passion that goes into it or the emotion that goes into it, the strong reasoning behind it, that's difficult to pass on. And probably the only way for it to be passed on effectively is to maintain the power of God's presence. So that they can feel, so that they can hear, and from feeling and hearing, then they can realize for themselves. We cannot, and we will not, get our kids to heaven on our coattails or our apron strings. We must somehow pass off not just tradition, but we must pass off the heartfelt emotion and the reason that's inside. And again, the only way we would call it, we would probably emphasize it in the word revival. Whether we have a revival meeting at that point that your child or my child grasps the realities or not, it's important. Sure, we thank God for the revival meetings when somebody comes in and the emphasis and the focal point is to build and to boost and to strengthen and to revive. But we don't have to wait for that point. As a matter of fact, we should be seeking God's presence in that sense all through the year, not just the 2 weeks of revival meeting, camp meetings. We have to pass it off. In realization. I've been in some services where the adults were so dead that the young people carried the tone of the service. How did they learn that? They probably learned it because they saw something in an adult, somebody who led them and taught them, and they began to realize it for themselves. Sometimes they may even have realized it from the adults that have grown cold or dried up. Sometimes it may simply be because young people have a heart and a burden within them for something that satisfies. Not just the ho-hum, the mediocre. I believe that that's one of the great elements of Bible school. It's because all of these young people are in there and they're seeking, there's a desire. That's what they've gone to Bible school for, is to find a new or a fresh touch of God. And they've gone in there with that desire. And so the seeking part, and they're being led by a certain few adults who are also passionate about it, makes it a little bit easier. But sometimes it can happen right in our local church. The young people passionately seeking God, but they have to realize it. Not just feel it, not just hear it, but they have to realize it for themselves. The reality of it is, though, adults, that it's our responsibility to lead them to that realization. Not to sit back and to wait for them to pick up the mantle of yesteryear, but to lead them and to pass that mantle off fresh and on fire. That's our responsibility. Teach them diligently. Train them. Expect that God continue to move in our midst so that His presence will grab a hold of their lives. Grab a hold of their world. Grab a hold of their heart. God delights in children. He takes such great pleasure in them. Children are a heritage, are a blessing from the Lord. So this evening we're going to dedicate little Kiara to the Lord. And she's crying, but we'll make it. Parents would come, Savannah would come, grandparents would join them here at the front. Right here, Savannah. She doesn't know what this is all about. There's no higher calling for parents than to teach our children. The best things is for mom and dad is to teach their children the fear of the Lord, as Proverbs writer would tell us. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. And so, in other words, the successful application of all that Kiara would learn in life depends on her, first of all, learning to fear and to follow God. And so we find in the Bible that the Bible teaches and urges us as parents to train our children to love God, to follow after Him, can we say, with every ounce and fiber that is within us. As you, Benjamin and Angela, love God and love each other and Savannah, it'll teach Kiara and give her a desire also to have that same love for herself. By coming forward this evening before God and His people, you are expressing that you have a desire to dedicate yourselves and Kiara to the Lord. Is that correct? Benjamin, if you would take care as symbol of the head of the house. So that Kiara would follow and walk in the life of full salvation that Christ offers, do you as parents, Benjamin and Angela, do you provide or you vow before God that by His help and the support of the church, that you will provide her a Christian home of love and peace to raise her in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline, and to encourage her to one day trust the Lord Jesus as her personal Savior? Do you today recognize that this child is a gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you now dedicate her to the Lord who gave her to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon her life in the hope that she will belong wholly to God? Do you pledge as parents that with God's fatherly help, you will bring up Kiara in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord into her life? Do you promise by God helping you to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace, Kiara will come to trust Jesus alone for the forgiveness of sins and for the fulfillment of all of His promises to her, namely, and specifically, eternal salvation, and in this faith, follow Jesus as Lord and obey His teachings? Grandparents, I don't know what that's like, but you do. Sometimes grandparents have a tendency to spoil their grandchildren. I guess that's a privilege of the grandparents. But I challenge you as grandparents this evening, not only in the sense of loving the child with that grandparently love, tends to spoil them in some measure, but I challenge you that by God's help, to pray for and encourage Ben and Angela as they raise Kiara, to support them in their effort to raise her in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We have parents, we have grandparents, and then we have the body of Christ. All of us have the responsibility also to be faithful in our calling as the body of Christ, and to vow in that faithfulness to help Ben and Angela raise her, to teach her, to instruct her in the ways of the Lord, that Kiara will find early in life Jesus as her Savior, and that we as a body of Christ make it easy for Kiara to make it to heaven and hard to miss heaven. If you accept that responsibility as a part of the body of Christ, will you express that by saying a hearty amen? And now we give her to the Lord. Precious children. Respond to our Father in heaven. What a precious little child. We thank you for new life into homes. We thank you, Lord, for the joy that they bring, the happiness that they bring. Oh God, I pray that you would help Ben and Angela as they train her, as they teach her, as they raise her, in the fear of the Lord, to teach her how to walk with you. Pray that you would build a hedge about her as she learns to love God and hate evil. I pray that you would protect her from the working of the enemy. Pray that you would build a hedge about her. Help the grandparents. Give them wisdom as well as they support the parents and as they do their part in raising and helping. Help us, Lord, today and the days ahead that we would teach and be faithful to Kiara and to lift her up to the throne in prayer, to be faithful to teach, to be faithful to support, and to help her make it to heaven. Father, here's Kiera. Her parents have brought her this evening to give her to you, to dedicate her to your cause, for your glory. Pray that you would take her mind, help her to use her mind to serve you. Pray that you would touch her eyes this evening and protect her from all the stains that could come in through the eye gates. Help her mouth, Lord, to be used to spread good words of kindness and love, and to be a Christian always in her speaking. Her hands and her feet, I pray, Lord, that you would also touch those and help them, help her to use them according to your purpose and to your plan. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would simply take her and make her a blessing. Use her for your glory. We dedicate her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry. And Savannah has a part as a big sister to help too. You going to help Kiera make it to heaven? Can you say yes? She doesn't understand this either. Thank you and God bless you. And may God richly bless you in your raising of Kiera. Bless you. Maybe see you. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Trust you have a good week this week. Remember to pray for each other. Trust the Lord would help through the week for those that are in need of the Lord's special touch. Again, remembering Sister Keys, especially on Wednesday, the Lord would touch her. James, would you dismiss us in prayer?